The fourth universe was created following the experience in which the male and female principles were separated from each other. They were recombined in the fourth universe since love and power should be together and not kept apart. This is a soul essence and quality that I speak about, not your dense physical flesh which came eons later after the other universes were completed. Then they were made by the father/mother's breath, even as the first four universes came forth, a series of specialized planets where particular qualities or functions were stressed in both the male and female beings. In the fifth universe was developed the power of mind thought, which is different from intellect. Let me clarify that in God all are of one mind and are whole. When spirit leaves God's mind to experience life in matter worlds, it then has separated minds capable of individual soul experience. Yet this entire universe kept one primary, unified thought, or intention, to love God, paramount, even though the souls were separated. By your standards this was miraculous. In humans, then, you need a love purpose to direct energy into thought or you will misuse it. A thought is energy moving its intention into reality. A thought is alive. God's thought is energy in a single focused creation. It does not analyze or break things down into separate parts as does human intellect. On Earth many of your technologists have great intellects, but not wholesome minds. Mind requires a heart's love for wholeness. Intellect is only 50% of thought. When intellect and intuition or God-knowingness are combined, there is perfect balance. In that fifth universe all inhabitants did so well they were allowed to return to the Creator en masse and it is now an unpopulated area in what you call space. Of all the many creations, a true scientist can only discover a universal law or principle to fulfill life's function and use it for the good of all. In fact, every scientist is obligated to seek reverently for God's principles, with the intention of applying them only for the common good. In the eighth universe of 4 million planets, our Creator caused a million to be inhabited and did a variety of experiments to understand the effects of the rays upon matter. Here some beings were given almost X-ray vision, others were imbued with the rays of heat, magnetism and electricity and were able to oscillate, to levitate. I will say only that there were many different experiments made to learn the effects from various kinds of temperature changes, effects from extensive dark and light exposure, and so forth. These creations willingly underwent the experiments for the good of the life forms which would follow them. Because of their difficulties during these trials, however, I came to give my love and peace during their many cataclysms. For while they could feel the presence of God during these various experiments, it was my stepping down of the Creator's power vibration that gave them a greater awareness of God's presence and comfort. So you see, dear ones, in the Omniverse all of God's creations have their plans and purposes. Each builds upon the prior gifts of the ones before it. Thus, in your position in the 12th and last universe, while God prepares to bring you home, you have the aspects of all this learning at your disposal if only you seek and synthesize it. The 9th universe, with only about 900 inhabited planets, was a spacious and unusual experiment. These people were focused on their spiritual natures and the love of God so constantly and consistently that this area is now empty of them. Merely a perfumed hush of peace remains in the ethers from their gentle natures. Because of their deep devotion our Creator would often come there, close to those who were different in size or magnitude from each other, but not different in the size of their affection. They all had the gifts of clairvoyance, clairaudience and mediumship. Where did they go? Some to God and some to rebirth into your 12th universe, dear ones. A few are a part of this universe, this solar system, and your planet in ways you find it difficult to understand. But they are part of some of you if you claim them. Unlike their devoted predecessors of the 9th universe, the 10th universe creations were attentive only to the matters of theology or the study of comparative religions throughout the many universes. With only 10% of some 900 planets inhabited, they spent their time thinking and learning. In their theological colleges they would study these different teachings, in an intellectual way, seeking to know God with the mind alone. But dissecting God to find the heart of love gains little, and this was their learning gift to those of you who follow. Knowing man's mental definitions of the Creator and experiencing that love in the heart are two very different things. And it was my purpose here 2,000 years ago to bring the experience and teachings of love back to earth again, as others had done before and since. Now a very sad, sad tale. The 11th universe of mechanism could not have existed save for the focus on engineering. However, of the men and women from these million and a half planets, all but those on two planets were decimated by war. For in that time and place, with the great inventiveness of thought without love's influence, their designs led to military uses. Although the warfare was carried out primarily by the machines they had invented, at least 860 of God's planets, themselves, were almost decimated by the violence. What a loss that this seething conglomeration of equipment and metallic instrumentation was harnessed only to the forces of a destructive nature and created havoc beyond description. It was permitted because of free will, just as your planet has free will. But, although they feared God, they held no heart love to soften their inventive genius. It happened, then, that the life forms chose machinery over God, their inventions became their masters, and they could never regain control over their equipment, their monstrous images made real. Perhaps you recognize some influence of that experiment in the 11th universe with what your own 12th universe is doing? Those of you who inhabit the planet Earth, along with about 500 other 12th universe planetary forms, are now caught up in that possible destructive aspect of engineering mechanization. Of course, most other planets are superior to Earth in technology, but you refuse to acknowledge this fact along with their interdimensional presence. Where do you think UFOs or flying saucers come from? Since you have the mixture in this 12th universe of all the other 11 in varying amounts and combinations, your 12th universe is a potpourri. It is all here from those trillions of years of learning and growth that has already transpired before time was. Your 12th universe is the largest of all that has preceded you. It has the greatest variety of learning possibilities to use, and the most tremendous opportunity to learn from past mistakes and past glories. All strengths and weaknesses of these past experiences are available to you. Then you must choose wisely in your universe and competently amalgamate or synthesize the best of it all, denying that ill-fated mechanization which manifested so widely and destructively in the 11th universe. You, as humanity, must focus more clearly on love than ever before if you wish to return to God purified of violence. For return is scheduled, soon, but only the loving ones can proceed. Now, are you interested to learn what your own universe's history has been over these past millions of years? Especially the 8 million years as it applies to the planet you live upon? Then let us pause a moment, together, in the Creator's love, and ponder what has been shared. I wish to speak about your own solar system, which is in the 12th universe, and about your so-called space programs. You might ask your scientists who send astronauts and instruments looking for other life to expand their own consciousness and stop wasting so much money looking for things in the third dimensional world. Most life on the other planets operates in the etheric levels of the fourth dimension and beyond. That which does not would not wish your warlike attitudes to locate them anyway. So, your three-dimensional eyes and instruments are blind. You are like a person standing in a brightly lit room with blindfolds on. So do not be surprised that you do not find life as you know it on the planets in your own solar system. The fact that most people are not even vaguely aware of this energy tells us you are more limited and unaware than we knew. Yet we have made a promise which will be kept so that none will be lost who chooses to awaken. Be advised that the increase in energies to your planet has already changed those who are alert and cooperating with us, so that the aware ones are slightly over halfway between the third and fourth dimensions, that is, about an average of 3.6 out of 4.0. By the time our spiritual infusion is over, the light workers will be growing close to fourth dimensional consciousness. The many others who wait to awaken until later in this century probably cannot do so without pain and suffering. The longer the personality resists its awakening, The more profound the experiences the soul must bring to ignite awareness. For some people this may be very intense. Therefore, choose now and avoid a need for this unpleasantness later on. Your soul will probably put your personality to the test of self-mastery, for it was this achievement you desired. Those who have been meditating and can now receive other dimensional telepathic contact from us may already have surpassed the 4.0 figure I have shared. For it is during your daily meditation periods that you bring the cleansing of limited thoughts and open yourself to the broader, more universal content of all that God is. For what God is you are becoming, though it is shadowed in the darkness and ignorance of illusion. This is your opportunity for transformation. If you could receive $1 trillion and every other wish of your personality's earthly desires, I tell you that the gift of God's energy at this time greatly surpasses it all. Not that you should not have money for food and things that represent God's abundance, but if you make of them your full-time pursuit and give only attention to the material things in unreasonable proportion, then you deal in idols of a false reality. So have a life of the material things to meet your basic needs, and then share your wealth, however large or small it may be. For as you give to others from the resources God has shared with you, the true prosperity of soul comes. As you have been told, at the time you call death when you ascend in your spiritual body, the contents of your mind, feelings and heart leave the body in an identity form of light or vibration. Hopefully, you will have conquered all bodily pursuits of the usual list you have heard before: lust, all addictions, gluttony, and greed in all its forms, for without a body to express them in, you will be left with a mind full of thoughts that bring no joy, especially as you have no physical flesh through which to enjoy them. Many are the prayers that come to us saying, "Father, give me this, or that, or something else." And we do make every effort to have your mental belief and emotional experiences cleansed enough so that the barriers to having your good are removed. Yet the greatest gift to have, and the greatest prayer to speak, is merely to accept all that has already been given every child of God. And in that prayer you become a vessel of acceptance to the perfect things your soul would direct to you. Most of which, incidentally, are not at all what you think you want and need. So ask for all that has already been given and cleanse yourself from the false belief that keeps it from you. Then shall you know heaven on earth even as you rise in consciousness to the greater state of God awareness, which is the one and only true need of humanity. It is so simple, but few will hear it. Few will respond. Still we remain stalwart in giving you what God has already granted through our own love, and compassion, and willingness to serve. Will you, in return, follow this example here on Mother Earth, which so desperately needs your support and where humanity so urgently needs to awaken? We of heaven ask for your support and assistance as we shepherd humanity into the golden age. We truly do need that core of love, that group of Golden Age apostles, disciples and believers. I have spoken of that new age, but let me give you an outline of what it means to earth and life upon it. The Golden, or Aquarian, age is a time of energy change and uplifting for all of humanity. It is a time when the things formerly invisible are made real to you. It is a time of joining heaven and earth together in open communication and cooperation. Therefore, it is a time when your usual, or limiting, habits must change, because the structure of consciousness itself is changing and due with it. It is also an opportunity to recognize and become, in the fullest measure, the higher or soul self while living in matter and physical form. Each person must build a bridge of energy between the personality and the soul self to achieve this. For this is the time for alignment of the lowest and the highest into one motive and one action. Love. It is nothing less than an integration in which the wisest aspect of soul becomes the director and leads the way for the individuals and group's gain. You see, the soul is group-oriented because it is of God and is already in contact with unity, which earthlings forget in their separated bodies of flesh. Meditation is a way of achieving great forward progress, because in contacting the soul you are enabled to pour your efforts into selfless service, something the average human personality resists. For do you not say that's mine as you refer to God's gifts around you? And is this not separation? Or the opposite of unity?